Paul here with today's tip to help you pass ACLS. Patients with a heart rate less than 60 are bradycardic. Some people can have a resting heart rate in the 40s without any compromise. For others, a heart rate of 50 or less could signify the need for immediate intervention and warrants additional assessment. Similar to the tachycardia algorithm, one of the first questions we should ask ourselves about a bradycardic patient is, are they stable? The identification of unstable bradycardia and how it's treated is today's PASS ACLS tip topic. Remember that we treat our patients, not the monitor. We should assess our bradycardic patient's vitals, level of consciousness, and perform a targeted history of the patient's current condition. This history and assessment should identify if the patient has any of the following: hypotension with a systolic blood pressure less than 90, a sudden decrease in level of consciousness, signs of shock like cool, clammy, ashen to cyanotic skin or delayed capillary refill, signs of acute CHF such as shortness of breath, edema, and wet breath sounds, or complaints of chest discomfort suggestive of possible cardiac ischemia. If any of those exist, the patient should be considered unstable and have ACLS intervention started. If the patient doesn't already have it, an IV should be established along with pulse oximetry and O2 therapy if the saturation is less than 90%. Remember that pulse ox can be inaccurate when patients are in shock. If the patient has ashen or cyanotic skin with delayed capillary refill, oxygen should be given and ABGs drawn. A 12-lead ECG should be obtained and a quick review of the patient's medical history and current medications performed to determine if the bradycardia could be of a toxicologic etiology. Calcium channel blockers and beta blockers, for example, can cause bradycardia and may respond favorably to a targeted treatment. Calcium in the case of calcium channel blockers, and glucagon administration for beta blockers. Based on the patient's history, a fluid bolus of 250 to 500 cc's could be started while a 12-lead is being performed. The IV should be kept at KVO for patients with renal failure or signs of acute CHF. For unstable patients, administration of 1 mg of atropine rapid IV push is indicated. This dose can be repeated twice in 3 to 5 minute intervals to a maximum dose of 3 milligrams. Remember that atropine works by blocking the effects of the parasympathetic nervous system on the SA node and has little to no effect on the AV node. Because of this, atropine is unlikely to be effective for patients with heart transplant or patients in a second degree type 2 or third degree heart block. After our first dose of atropine, we see an increase in the P waves on the ECG, but no increase in the pulse or QRSs, subsequent doses of atropine can be skipped. For these patients, transcutaneous pacing or TCP is needed. If there's a delay in getting TCP, an infusion of dopamine or epinephrine can be started. 5 to 20 micrograms per kilogram per minute for dopamine, or 2 to 10 micrograms per minute for epinephrine drip. If a dopamine or epi drip is started, we should begin at the lowest rate and slowly titrate up only to a systolic blood pressure of 90 or more. Remember that these medications increase the workload of the heart and can worsen ischemia, so use with caution and maintain close monitoring of these patients. For unstable bradycardic patients that don't respond to atropine, TCP should be started as soon as it's available. If you'd like more information on causes and treatment of bradycardia, check out the pod resource page at passacls.com. If you found this review of unstable bradycardia helpful, your coworkers or classmates may as well. Tag PASSACLS on a LinkedIn post or a tweet. Your feedback, suggestions for topics, and donations are appreciated. Through the end of October, the donation link goes to a fundraiser for the American Cancer Society's battle against breast cancer. I'm here to help you pass ACLS. Thanks for listening, and good luck with your class.